On Mondays throughout this summer, we've been featuring major writers whose work is fairly unknown in this country, despite their prominence elsewhere. Today's underappreciated installment is devoted to the Egyptian author Yusuf Idris. He wrote newspaper pieces, plays, and novels, but he's most highly regarded for his short stories, now available in this country from the American University and Cairo Press under the title The Essential Yusuf Idris, Masterpieces of the Egyptian Short Story. Joining us now is Roger Allen, the Sasha Jane Patterson Harvey Professor of Social Thought and Comparative Ethics, Professor of Arabic and Comparative Literature, and Chair of the Department of Near Eastern Languages and Civilizations at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
What did the Egyptian writer Tawfiq al-Hakim mean when he called Idris a renovator of the short story?
Well, up to a certain point in the history of modern Arabic literature, the short story took on certain specific subjects. Most of them were concerned with the middle and upper class and very much concerned with people who lived in cities. The one unique thing about Yusuf Idris, and as you may know, I knew him and corresponded with him quite a lot, is that he grew up in the countryside. In fact, part of his childhood biography tells how he used to have to walk to school every day for 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours there and 2.5 hours back. So he was probably the first Egyptian short story writer who took the short story out of the domain of the middle and upper class and the city and started giving us little vignettes of the vast majority of what Egypt is, which is the places outside the city and the people who live there, the peasants living in the countryside, and the kinds of things which concern them. And some of the stories in this collection, such as The Shame and so on, talk very much about what a kind of fishbowl society that is in the village, where everybody knows everybody else and everybody knows everybody else's secrets. And he had this particular knack of using the short story, and often the very short story, to give you a little glimpse into that kind of life, which previous authors, including Tawfiq al-Hakim, actually had not been able to do because they simply didn't have that experience.
Well, we can only know these stories in translation, but didn't Idris use a lot of vernacular Egyptian dialect?
Yes.
Did that make it more difficult to translate?
Not really, I think. Although, obviously, if you're translating a language like Arabic, where there are a number of different language levels, it's quite difficult to try to reflect the colloquial, dialectal, day-to-day street language in the appropriate level in English. And I'm not sure that many of the English translators of him, including myself, have actually been able to do that very successfully, because we really don't have much experience with that. But certainly, the resort to colloquial language was something for which he was very famous. He insisted on doing it from the beginning of his career. And, of course, it didn't make him a favorite author among the literary and cultural establishment of Egypt, who preferred to see the upper levels of the literary language used. But Yusuf Idris, throughout his career, probably because of the background I've just mentioned to you, insisted that the only way to really reflect what Egyptians think and say is to use the language they use to think and say, and that's the colloquial dialects.
Not Naguib Mahfouz is the most famous Egyptian writer today.
Right.
Why Mahfouz and not Idris? I understand Idris was proposed for the Nobel several times.
Well, I'm a correspondent of the Nobel Academy in Sweden, and I can tell you that the one thing, of course, they rely on in making their judgments is the availability of translations and of good translations and translations into several of the European languages, not just one. And as I had to explain to Yusuf Idris myself in Baghdad, the year when Mahfouz won the Nobel Prize, which was 1988, the simple fact of the matter was that he had not been as extensively translated as Naguib Mahfouz had, which is a reflection of a whole series of factors involving which particular European countries are interested in which particular Arab countries, often a vestige of previous colonial excursions into the Middle East. But that Yusuf Idris had not been well translated. And I have to tell you, I went online today knowing we were going to have this conversation. And basically, almost everything that Yusuf Idris has in English up till now is out of print, which is a reflection of a much larger issue concerning the interest which the Anglophone reading public has in Arabic literature in general.
In fact, the only book that we could find, The Essential Use of Idris, which includes several translations from you, is published by the American University in Cairo Press.
Well, you see, there is part of the, I don't know quite what to call it. I'll call it the tragedy, the misfortune, the whatever it is, of English and American publishing, that unless you win the Nobel Prize or unless you write about terrorism or banking or something like that, the commercial presses in England, the United States, I'm not just singling out the United States, England's just as bad, simply aren't interested in it. I'll just give a little commercial plug. I myself not only translated him, but I edited a series of studies on him. And I say that because it's where his childhood autobiography is published. He wrote it for me in English because he didn't want to write it in Arabic, because he begins by saying, I think my childhood must have been the most miserable childhood ever. And it's called Critical Perspectives on Yusuf Idris. But that's part of a larger conversation and a larger topic, which is, and I'll just give you a little anecdote. I've just come back from a sabbatical leave from my university in Morocco. And while I was there, I used to buy the French newspaper, the Paris newspaper, Le Monde. They recently had an article pointing out that after the London Book Fair, which took place earlier this year and in which the Arab world and its literature was prominently featured, a survey was done which showed an astonishing fact, although it reflects what I have found, which is that in England, the market for foreign literature is 2%. In France, it's 46%. So, I mean, that reflects something about the way in which I think both England and the United States tend to regard, treat, read, and analyze foreign literatures as opposed to literatures written in English. As I say, you asked a loaded question, and I don't want to go too far into the generalities.
But of course, that's the situation. Well, that's to some degree what we talk about on this underappreciated series.
Well, that's why I'm so grateful to you.
Why would a writer who is considered so important in his home country or has been famous at one point no longer be available in print? In this case, we have one book that is available,
right,
and you can get it on Amazon. He was born 1927, died in 1991. Can you give us a brief description of his life?
Oh, yes. Well, as I say, his childhood seems to have been pretty miserable. The part of the reason is that his father divorced his mother at a certain point. Apparently she was a very beautiful woman, and as soon as he did so, he regretted it. And it took a long time to persuade her to remarry him, and Yusuf Idris is the result of the remarriage, or one of the results. He adored his father, and he hated his mother. And his mother banished him from the house at the age of 6, and he went to live with his grandparents. And it was from there that he had to commute to school every day. He then went to Cairo and studied medicine. He was a doctor and a psychiatrist.
And he's been compared to Chekhov.
Yes.
Do you see, who was also a doctor, of course.
Indeed.
Do you see that the same kind of insight that Chekhov had as a doctor?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, Chekhov, there are certain ways that doctors have in analyzing things, you see. And Yusuf Idris, having become a doctor, became a medical inspector for what is clearly the poorest quarters of old Cairo, which he describes in unbelievable, incredible detail. The one I'd recommend to you and your listeners is the one which is actually in here, I think, called City Dregs, in the middle of which there is a description of a walk from the major square near the Azhar Mosque, which is the big mosque in old Cairo, to one of the old houses through the streets. It's a piece of prose poetry of the most amazing kind.
It's under the title The Dregs of the City in this this collection.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's that sort of talent that he had for description, which of course makes him a great short story writer. Because the thing about short stories, of course, is that they're short, but also that because they're short, anything you write by way of description has got to be tight, and it's got to be maximally elusive, and that's the great talent he has and had. And it makes of all his short stories wonderful examples of the short story. In fact, I would go so far to say that the short story today in the Western world is not the most favored fictional genre. The novel is. But I think in the Arab world, while the novel is certainly very popular, the short story is also up there with it, doing its particular function, which is to do things which novels don't tend to do, which is to give you little slices of life, little insights, little glimpses. I mean, War and Peace is perhaps the proverbial long novel, right? And you can expand and you can go to great length, but the short story writer has to be something like a poet in his ability to encapsulate large things in very beautiful language and in very short space. And that was where Yusuf Idris is the absolute master.
Well, the image he gives us of Egypt is not always a very nice one.
Indeed.
He supported Nasser's rise to power, but then he was imprisoned by Nasser in 1954.
Yep.
Was he disillusioned?
Yeah. Well, here's the problem, you see. The Egyptian revolution of 1952 had one goal, and that's to get rid of the monarchy and the corruption associated with it. But I don't think that any of the people involved in the revolution were quite clear about what happened next. This is a unique feature of the Egyptian revolution. It was essentially bloodless, but it was up to the leadership after that to decide what to do. And like many Middle Eastern revolutions, not least the one in Iran in 1979, it was a combination of people all who had one goal. In Iran, it's to get rid of the Shah. In Egypt, it was to get rid of King Farouk. But you had communists on one side, you had Muslim brethren on the other, all of whom said, let's combine to get this one thing done. But you see, as soon as the revolution began to take shape, began to assume its general socialist and Arab nationalist pretensions, then anybody who didn't fit into the plan was in distinct trouble. And Yusuf Idris was an extreme leftist. And like many extreme leftists, found themselves in jail between about 1959 and 1961, when they were all released.
Well, interestingly, he was his first collection, The Cheapest Nights, was published the same year he was thrown into jail.
That's right.
Just a coincidence?
No. It's because yes, there's no connection between the publication of the short stories and being thrown in jail. He's being thrown in jail because in the 1940s and into the 1950s, he's one of the primary leaders of the student revolt, which was a primary feature of the late 1940s when, after the Second World War, after the establishment of Israel, Egypt went through a very, very disturbed political period indeed, leading up to the revolution. So, in fact, The Cheapest Nights, the first collection, contains a lot of stories that he'd been writing as a student. And the amazing thing is that from 1954, the date of that publication, he published a collection of short stories every year for the next 5 years. Now, that means, you know, each collection contains 10 or 12 stories. So it's an incredible outpouring of short story writing genius. And when you look, there is, in fact, a very academic and learned study of Idris's short studies published in Holland in English called The Short Stories of Yusuf Idris by a scholar diplomat called Kuperschuk. And I won't spoil that for you, it will take too long. But that gives the details of where all the short stories were published, because with Najib Mahfouz and Yusuf Idris, it's true that almost everything they wrote appeared first of all in a newspaper or journal before they were published in book form. So there's no real connection between the publication of Arkas Leali, Cheapest Nights, in 1954 and what happened to him that year, because most of the stories had already been published before.
Just one more thing, because we're running out of time. He also wrote novels, and he set about to create a new form of Egyptian play. Was he successful in either of those?
In the novels, less so, quite frankly. My own instinct is that Yusuf Idris was brilliant at short forms, and that reflects his own personality and his own writing style. Less good at novels, although the one which used to be available but is now out of print, guess what, called The Sinners, is a very fine novel. The Arabic title is Al-Haram. But the play called Farafir in Arabic, and there are two English translations of it, both out of print, one called The Farfours and the other called Flip Flap and His Master. That was a landmark in modern Arabic drama because he decided to revive some of the traditional forms whereby Arabs performed plays or dramas in public and turned it into a play which investigated Cairo's society and all the political problems of Egypt in the form of a theater in the round with actors in the audience and two comedians on the stage, one called a master and one called a servant, trying to work out, well, why do we need a master and why do we need a servant, which, of course, can get very political very quickly, and did.
Professor Allen, we have no time, but is his legacy still felt in Egyptian literature?
Oh, absolutely. He is one of, I would say, the three greatest short story writers in the Arab world, and I would also say his reputation should extend far beyond that.
Alas, the only book in print these days with a lot of wonderful stories in it is called The Essential Yusuf Idris, Yusuf Idris, Masterpieces of the Egyptian Short Story. It is published by the American University in Cairo Press. And my great thanks to Roger Allen, who's translated quite a bit of Idris. He's the Sasha Jane Patterson Harvey Professor of Social Thought and Comparative Ethics, Professor of Arabic and Comparative Literature, and Chair of the Department of Near Eastern Languages and Civilizations at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for being on Underappreciated today.
And thank you for inviting me. Thank you.